WJR's newest radio show, Today's Woman, hosted by Dr. Carol Kowalczyk. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. It's all about supporting women and their careers and at home. The show will focus on educating and inspiring women to be the best they can be. Specific topics we'll discuss will be women's health, wellness, families, and work, and we'll provide a community for women to help one another. Each show will offer a proven tip that makes doing it all a little less complicated. That's all coming up next after this break on News Talk 760 WJR.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter. Footsteps keep it lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Welcome back to WJR's newest radio show, hosted by Dr. Carol Kowalczyk. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Today's woman is all about you. Today, we are going to focus especially on speaking with you, Dr. Carol, and we'd like you to introduce yourself to everyone. But first, I'd like to say you are a reproductive endocrinologist and founder of Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, and welcome to WJR.
Thank you, Dana, and I have to say I'm so excited to be co-hosting this with you. This is a show that I have been dreaming to do because women are just so amazing. And it is going to be a great opportunity for you and I to touch base with women to help life be a little easier. As to where I trained, I'm homegrown, born in Detroit. I trained at Wayne State University. Great place to do your residency and fellowship. Was there for till 2002. And then when I had my fourth baby and life got a little crazy, I actually on a Thursday night was approached by four of my employees who locked my door and said, and I thought, oh my gosh, what's going on? They said that they believed in how I treated patients, and if I left to start my own place, they would follow me. Mm-hmm. What an honor. And that's how Michigan Center was started, and it was developed in 2002, actually in one of my nurses' kitchens, to get an extra line to allow patients to start to make appointments. But in November of 2002, Michigan Center was there with the philosophy that the patient is an individual and no patient is a number. So at Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, we very much value the entire patient and take into account not only the medical problems that they have, but incorporate mind, body, and spirit, and incorporate their many beliefs, their religious beliefs, their financial concerns, their ethical concerns, to make an individual plan for them.
Now, how did you get a passion for this specialty that you have? Because you are a medical doctor, but you're specializing in this. What led you to that?
What made me passionate about OB, which is what you do before the fellowship, is that I think, and I've always thought, women are amazing. Mm-hmm. Women can juggle 8 gazillion things, and they do it with style. And I wanted to be a physician that supported the woman in that role. Fertility at the time when I was doing my fellowship was so amazing. So many technologies were coming out that included, you know, improvements in pregnancy for male factor, improvements in genetic technology, improvements surgically to help patients get pregnant a lot easier. That was exciting to me, and I felt that I wanted to be on the cutting edge of medicine. The other thing is fertility and reproductive endocrine. I get to treat men as well as women.
And we don't think about that sometimes.
No, and it's a couple's condition. Many times when someone has fertility, it's all about the woman. But no, as you'll hear later today, a significant portion is male factor. And I love the fact that I can approach both people. The other thing is psychology is so important. And the stress of the fertility is so huge. And I wanted to be able to get into that piece, to be there for couples going through the stress of fertility, to treat the psychological aspect too.
Well, and you mentioned to me before, but tell us about infertility actually being a medical condition.
Absolutely. Infertility is a medical condition, and many patients and many families do not realize that this is just like diabetes, hypertension. If you had one of those conditions, you'd see a doctor immediately, but for some reason, and I think I know that fertility is such a private...
Why is there a stigma?
on it?
Because I think it's a private condition, and I believe that many couples wanting children, they do all the right things, mm-hmm. and they're successful, they want children, they're reading the books, they're doing what they need to do, yet it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there's feelings of fear,
shame,
anger. It's my fault. Mm-hmm. I don't want to disappoint my spouse, and I don't want anyone to know. Mm-hmm. But as we're going to say, 15% or more couples are affected by this. You all know someone who has a problem with fertility. You all know someone who has a problem with recurrent miscarriage. And therefore, I think it's important. And did you know, Dana, that this week is National Infertility Awareness Week?
I was just going to ask you about that. Tell us about that. What does that mean?
25 years. It's the 25th anniversary. National Infertility Awareness Week is a federally recognized health observance from the Department of Health and Human Services. It was initiated in 1989, and it has been going on strong. And the focus of this week is to keep awareness to the audience, to people out there, that this is a medical condition and it is something that you should not be afraid to seek treatment for, because mm-hmm. guess what? In most situations, we can identify the problem and we can find a treatment for it.
And you can get more information for Dr. Carol on mifertility.com. You can also call 586-576-0431 to learn more. And speaking of male fertility, hopefully later we'll be speaking to Dr.
Richard Bennett.
And he's going to explain that aspect as well, because as you mentioned, it's the whole couple.
Yes, and Dr. Bennett is a fabulous, fabulous person to talk to, because he has as much of a passion about male fertility as I have about female. And there are many male fertility specialists out there, okay. and probably during the course of our shows, we'll have several of them up here to discuss, you know, what we're about to help our guys.
Okay, so we're just getting started. I'm going to take a quick break, and we want you to join us back here on Today's Woman on WJR. Today's Woman with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. It's a show about women's health, wellness, families, and careers. Sponsored by the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, which supports women, mind, body, and spirit as they address reproductive medical conditions. Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health provides the latest in fertility care. Today's Woman, hosted once again by Dr. Carol Kowalczyk, I'm Dana Clark, will provide women with information that they can use to make day-to-day living a little less complicated. For more information, you can go to mifertility.com.
Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health is one of the only fertility centers in Michigan that offers complementary care services such as massage, counseling, fitness, nutrition information to complement fertility treatment and optimize success.
Why do you think that's important to have the wellness center right there along with the fertility?
This has always been important to me in going through my training and in counseling several patients about fertility. Every single couple has an aspect of stress that they're dealing with, whether it be financial or one patient's problem is the more significant one, relationship, health-wise. Mm-hmm. And I felt it important to incorporate a wellness center right on site so that it would decrease the stress of the patient. Our office, I'm very, very proud of, is very different than many physician offices. No one wears a lab coat. Everyone is like everyone else. You walk into the office, I have many patients state it's like a spa there. A very, very comfortable atmosphere. And that is our focus. I want my patients to walk into my office, relax, take a breath, and say, okay, Michigan Center is going to take care of me. I fully believe in the traditional medicine that is available and quickly improving to optimize patients' fertility care, but I don't think traditional medicine is 100% all that.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't believe that just complementary or alternative care medicine is going to cure your infertility. There are many options out there that state that that can make you pregnant, not necessarily believing it. However, I do believe that combining mm-hmm. the benefits and the most important aspects of traditional medicine with the most important aspects of complementary care and putting them together enhances success rate. And it's important that a couple can have the resources to help with whatever they need to do to enhance their fertility, whether they have a problem with being overweight. And in future shows, we'll talk about that, how weight can play a role in fertility. Well, there's a nutritionist there to help you. There's a fitness expert to help you. If there's problems with the marital relationship or just stress with coworkers or the next sister who got pregnant without trying and you've been trying for 4 years, there's a stress management coach to help you. If yoga's your thing and meditation, massage, facials, those are things that many women find decrease their stress, and it's all available here.
And you take care of the complete person and couple. That's what I really like about it.
Absolutely. And it's right there, and whatever resources they have. So importantly, that in some of my treatment packages, alternative care treatments are included in the medical treatment packages that we have.
Okay.
And, you know, with that, I am very, very proud and honored to have Claire Maurer Hogan on my team. Claire is amazing. She's a licensed therapist. She's on the staff of Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, also is on staff of InHarmony. And she is amazing. First of all, I'm proud to say she's normal. normal is good. So when you walk
What's
in...
What's normal?
Exactly. Who knows what normal is? But when you walk in, you do not feel intimidated by Claire. You feel comfortable with Claire. Claire is that person that you could say, I'm angry, I'm disappointed, I'm irritated, I'm frustrated. And she's going to take that and take those comments and those emotions and work with you to build the tools to make the journey better. And she will review right now the impact that stress has on a couple's fertility journey. And I've got some questions I want to ask you, Claire.
Hi, Claire. Welcome. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, Dr. Kowalczyk and Dana. And
hey.
This is wonderful.
And thank you, Claire, for being part of the team. And I want to talk about the impact of stress on infertility. And that's been a subject that has been a big controversy as to how stress impacts fertility. And when you and I have lectured to residency programs all across the Detroit area, we have said to our training doctors that stress in certain situations may not impact fertility, that in war and poverty and depression and huge stress, people still get pregnant. However, how many of us have all heard, oh, honey, go on vacation, you'll get pregnant, just relax. That's a comment my fertility patients cringe at many times. But there's been some recent news about it. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Just this past month, the Journal of Human Reproduction, it's really a benchmark in terms of our research that shows that, yes, there might be that correlation that we've suspected, but now we've got a little bit more research to support that. And so what they did, they tracked a few hundred women in the Michigan area, which is always exciting when research is coming out of here, and checking their biomarkers. What are those stress enzymes and hormones that would indicate that there's stress on board, and then marking their fertility to become pregnant. And so what they found at the end of the study is that women were twice as likely to be declared infertile, and there was a 29% decrease in their fertility potential month to month. So those are significant numbers that do show when we can identify that there's stress on board, there may be that potential that your fertility could be affected by that.
And I think Good Morning America highlighted that study just as recently as within the last month. So I think that's very important that people are paying attention. Also, you and I work with or model some of our enhanced treatments with Alice Domar in the Boston IVF. Can you tell us a little bit about Dr. Domar and what research she has identified?
Absolutely. Alice is a forerunner just in terms of paving the way for this arena specifically. And what she notes is that most couples, obviously, there's so much investment in fertility efforts, so financial, spiritual, relational, financial efforts are significant. That being said, it is not the financial aspects that cause couples to drop out of their treatment. It's actually the emotional distress that they feel during that time, which once again speaks to how impactful this can be for individuals and couples, enough to make them halt or press the pause button.
And even along those lines, in Europe, many countries in Europe, they cover fertility, they cover IVF. So to go through the treatment procedures is pretty much free.
Yeah.
But studies suggest that many stop treatment after only a couple of cycles.
Why is that?
It's due to stress. Okay. It's due to the issue of the anxiety, the disappointment of not being successful, and finances were not a part of the issue in them stopping their fertility.
Do couples talk about it? Is it better for couples to talk with each other? Because sometimes I think they don't say,
absolutely,
you know, I'm feeling this, and then he doesn't say I'm feeling that, and it just kind of builds up.
That's a great point, Dan. It's very rare for a couple to be unilateral in how they're experiencing the fertility efforts.
Because you know guys.
Exactly. Somebody's dragging their heels or feeling a little more impacted, and everybody, gender-wise, we deal with things differently. Mm-hmm. So having that communication, and that's where counseling can be so helpful.
And that's part of the therapy, correct?
Mother's Day's coming up, Claire, and I understand that it's a very tough time for many, many mothers. And our next show will air after Mother's Day. So can you give us some tips to the women out there who are striving to be moms and how to help with that day?
Absolutely. It can be a devastating holiday for many couples. So what I always encourage is find what works for you. What are those boundaries that are going to safeguard your well-being? That might mean saying no to that brunch with the family where there's nieces and nephews all around. It might mean instead you invest in yourself and you go get a massage or a nice dinner with your partner. But don't be afraid to say no. Set those boundaries. This will end. That day will end. Mm-hmm. So we want to look at ways to keep yourself calm and peaceful, honor the grief and process that you're in, but also keep those stressors away.
And remember that nowadays, over 90% of the time, I can identify what the fertility issue is, and most of the time we can find a treatment option for you. Last question, what can you ask couples to do to manage their stress as a couple?
Absolutely. We've got a lot of different options there. The first is just to nurture your mind-body connection. So anything that takes your emotions and puts relaxation in its place, so that can be yoga, that can be prayer, journaling, meditation, being in nature, that can work. Also, just making sure that you're communicating with your partner, like you mentioned, Dana. Mm-hmm. Certainly, just setting your boundaries. Like I said, anything or anyone who's toxic or draining, I want you to push that away for this time being. And certainly exercise can also help. It puts motion to that. And we've got a lot of research that shows it's as effective as an antidepressant.
Claire Maurer-Hogan, a licensed therapist on staff at Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. We'll be right back with more of Today's Woman on WJR. Welcome back to Today's Women Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Tonight, we'll talk fertility and stress with two experts. Dr. Carol will welcome her guests, Dr. Richard Bennett and Claire Maurer-Hogan. We're learning about the impact stress has on fertility health and that 30% of the time for infertility affects men in honor of National Infertility Awareness Week, which is this week. Now, if you're not familiar with Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health and the influence of stress on fertility health, a great way to find out more is just by visiting their website at mifertility.com or call them at 586-576-0431. That's 586-576-0431. Dr. Carol, give us a little intro about male infertility.
Well, I'd like to highlight a little bit about general infertility and give you a feeling about how common it is.
Okay.
And with this, we need to appreciate that the books say that it's about 10 to 15% of couples experience infertility, and it probably is more. Mm-hmm. And all of us know someone who has problems getting pregnant or keeping a pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And I want listeners to know that there is hope out there, that you have the ability to have your family. And meeting someone to do a fertility workup and to offer treatment choices will allow you to have the power of making the right decisions to know which treatment option is right for you to build that family. 90% of the time, we can find a reason for why you're not getting pregnant. And most of the time, we can treat the problem. Now, some options are out of the box that we'll talk about in later shows, but it's important to know that it's worth going to see someone. What is the definition of infertility? Usually, we say it's 1 year of trying if you're under 35. Over 35, it's 6 months of trying. And as I teach my residents, if you're over 40, it's yesterday. So we 40-somethings are the new 28, but the eggs don't know that. And they do not have the ability to continue to be youthful like the rest of us. So there are three pieces of a triangle that we do for a workup. And it is checking to see how a woman ovulates and doing a hormone workup to see where she stands with certain maybe medical conditions or hormones that need to be treated appropriately to get her to ovulate or release an egg in a more timely manner. There are structural evaluations we do to make sure that the uterus is a good environment for a pregnancy to implant and continue to grow. Also, there are tests to check on tubes and tubal patency. Sperm and egg get together in the tube, so that's where fertilization occurs before it makes a little embryo that goes down and tracks into the uterus. So we need to make sure that structural issues are good there. Also, you know, there's conditions called endometriosis and scar tissue that could impact fertility. These conditions I will go through in future shows and will highlight different features of fertility and impacts of various conditions on fertility. Today, however, in light of, you know, National Infertility Awareness Week and also appreciating that there are hopefully going to be men listening to this show as well, I wanted to bring a very good friend of mine who is amazing to talk about male infertility and how to address it. And I'd love to introduce Dr. Richard Bennett, a male infertility specialist. And thank you, Dr. Bennett, for agreeing to be on the first show of Today's Woman.
Yes, Dr. Kowalczyk. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
I'm so excited you got to be with us. I know you were busy in surgery this morning, and I appreciate you taking the time. Can you tell the audience a little bit about your background and what led you to be so passionate about male fertility?
Sure. So I'm a urologist by training. I did a fellowship in male infertility and microsurgery. But my interest in infertility predates medical school actually by several years. I'm a testicular cancer survivor. I was diagnosed in my senior year of college, and my wife and I have been together since we were teenagers. So I've been with her since that time. It was already something we were thinking about as starting a family someday. And so as a testicular cancer survivor, I had some issues and concerns with fertility related to my treatments. And we can talk about that, future programs or anything if we're interested. But, you know, when I got to medical school and residency, helping people start their family was something I was always interested in because of my personal experiences. And, you know, I think it helps me relate with patients on a very sympathetic level because I've been through all of it myself. You know, I've had all the discussions. I've been in the other chair sitting across from the doctor. So, you know, I'm here to help, and I think that's what you're here for with your radio program as well.
Excellent. And how common is the problem associated with male infertility?
So I know you talked briefly about the percentages of infertility, but what I tell my patients is that if you're sitting in my chair to get evaluated for infertility, if they're in your office, is that the distribution between male factors for infertility and female factors is quite similar. So half of patients seeking treatment have an issue with both the sperm and the eggs or the ovulation or the female side, and 25% it's just a sperm or ejaculation issue, and 25% it's just a male hormonal or egg issue. So half of the couples, it's a little of both, and 25% it's, you know, perhaps on the male side or the female side. And so that's just kind of generally where I talk to them, and that's why I always recommend the men get evaluated if the women are getting evaluated as well.
And what is the right time for a man to undergo a semen analysis? And what type of conditions would gentlemen want to be aware of that could impact their fertility potential and their sperm counts?
Yeah, so it gets to be a complicated issue, but just like you said, anybody who's been trying for over a year certainly should start with a semen analysis. It's a very easy, simple test to do. As you mentioned, couples over age 35 to 40 will usually get evaluated sooner. And for me also, there's some other things we look for in men. Like if you were ever diagnosed as a teenager with something called a varicocele, which is enlarged veins to the testicle, it may not cause a problem until you go to start your family and try to have children. So anybody with a varicocele when they were young should get a semen test earlier rather than later. Anybody who's been treated with chemotherapy or radiation obviously could have some concerns and get treated earlier. If you know there's a family history of infertility, you know, if your parents had tried for 6 years to have you and that's the story they've shared with you, perhaps you want to get evaluated earlier rather than later. There's also some renal and kidney abnormalities that are associated with fertility problems. So if you were born with one kidney, you should probably get evaluated sooner, some things like that that we look at on an individual basis.
And what about specifically, you know, sperm counts or low motility? Do certain medications affect it? Does smoking, drinking, drug use? I mean, how do we know that that impacts or does not impact the sperm parameters?
So there's a lot of studies that have been done, and there's a lot of things we know can affect the sperm parameters. For example, the motility, which is the ability of them to swim. So we know smoking can affect the sperm counts and the motility. Whether it be cigarettes, pipes, cigars, particularly unfiltered tobacco, perhaps is worse. We know certain drugs such as marijuana can affect the motility. No one's ever done really large studies because it's hard to get a group of people who use marijuana or other medications, whether they be medicinally or recreationally, to volunteer for a study like that. But I have seen some dramatic improvements when we've made some lifestyle changes with people. Another key thing that I always look for is testosterone issues. So men who are having difficulty with sexual performance, if they're tired, if their sexual interest is low, those are all signs of low testosterone. And that is something we can help, and that will help the sperm counts as well.
Well, I appreciate all this valuable information, and I'd love to have you on in a future show with some other male fertility specialists to talk about treatment options in the future. And I know that you have got so much to offer our men, and I definitely thank you for being on. And again, I wish you a nice, peaceful rest of your day after your hectic OR this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime, Carol.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Bennett. And as you can appreciate, there is definitely a role for patient awareness of fertility and the fact that I hope that today's show will bring hope to couples struggling with this medical condition and that they will know that there's definitely treatment options available. There is so much we can do. And I'm really excited to be on, especially launching this first show on National Infertility Awareness Week, to share all of these great things with you.
Coming up, A Day in the Life of on WJR. Listening to Today's Woman with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. For more info on Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, visit mifertility.com or just give them a call at 586-576-0431. That's 586-576-0431 to learn more. Now, Dr. Carol, can I call you that? Or Dr. K, Dr. Carol?
I answer to anything and everything.
No, it's all good. Don't say that. That's getting a little scary. This is our final segment, mm-hmm. and this is my favorite segment. It's called A Day in the Life Of. So what are we going to do in this segment? Tell everybody. They're going to be so excited about it.
Well, this segment, I think, is really, really important because this is the piece that is going to help all of us women juggle a crazy day that we all have to make life a little less complicated.
How do we do that?
Well,
How do we do it?
We're going to figure it out. So during this segment, what Dana and I are going to look for are inspirational women in all walks of life, the career woman, the homemaker, mm-hmm. the woman who's juggling everything, and find out what makes her tick, what makes her successful, what did she have to do to get to where she is today, but also look more deeply into how do you do it all? Mm-hmm. Do you do it all? How do you manage
and stay sane?
You got it. A day-to-day life. And then hopefully take these tips mm-hmm. and share them with you to make your life a little less complicated.
So it could be a prayer.
Absolutely.
It could be some advice.
It could be a saying.
It could be anything that you learned from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we are going to take all tips from all women, strong women in every area. And also, we want you to like us on Facebook, right? Because we're going to have a future contest. So we want to do the Facebook thing. We're going to be tweeting as well. So we're just getting started with this segment. And we want to start with you, Dr. Carol. Tell us about you and how you got started and your mentor.
Well, I have to tell you, it all starts at home, and I have to give a great thank you to my mom and dad, Frank and Joanne. They are a homegrown, and my sister Kathy's an electrical engineer at Ford, and what my mom and dad instilled in my sister and I was, you can do it, believe in yourself, and they wanted us to establish careers where we could stand on our own 2 feet, and they never stopped believing in us. And I think as a parent for your child, if they want to be a superwoman, if they want to have a dream, follow that dream and let them get that chance. And so thanks, Mom and Dad. I appreciate that. I was secretary as my first job at Holy Cross Hospital. That was in Detroit. And after that, drew blood. That's called a phlebotomist there. During that time, a wonderful physician named Dr. Centeno was the head pathologist there, married to another physician, and she had 3 boys. And she gave me some great advice. Number one, find the right partner. That is very hard to do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And finding the right partner who believes in what you believe in and is there to support you is huge, because there's going to be days that are not that rosy and they're going to be tough. And again, my husband, John, is fabulous. And we're
he's a great team. He's a doctor as well.
He's an OBGYN. We met in training. He said he liked my legs. I don't know.
That was it.
I liked everything about him. So it all worked out good. But he's wonderful and has been very supportive of Michigan Center. The other thing is accept help. So you don't have to do it all. And the house doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to take every single task at hand. And if someone wants to help you with taking the kids somewhere, wants to help you with the housework, so don't be afraid to say yes. Life doesn't have to be perfect. I have 4 kids, John, Elise, Jackie, and Michael.
Hey, kids.
Hey. I do not make the best pancakes in the world. I'm telling you, Aunt Kathy gets that award. You don't have to have the best house. It doesn't have to be perfect. And when people say to me, Dana, how do you do it every day? Mm-hmm. I said, you know what? I don't know. I say a prayer.
Yes.
And I wake up and I wing it. And I do the best I can every single day. And some days are better than others. The
right.
cool thing about evenings, you wake up and you get a fresh start.
Redo.
There you go. So how about you, Dana?
Well,
tell us
I have 2 children. I'm not going to tell you how old they are. No, they're in their 20s. One is in their 20s and another is 15. They're both a sophomore, one in college and one in high school. And so I'm a former perfectionist. I used to be the mom who had to have everything perfect. The bed's made, no dishes in the sink. Seriously, I couldn't go to bed at night if I knew there was one plate in the sink. But I am reformed, and I realize now that, as you said, you don't have to be perfect. You can't do it all. You do have to ask for help, which I did not do before. And one thing I really remember is that the kids, they don't remember if the house was clean, but they do remember the time you went to Cedar Point and Florida. So make memories that, and the housework can wait. Now I let things go.
Yay!
I leave a dish in the sink on purpose. I don't make up my bed sometime until the weekend. I let my son have his room dirty, which I would never do before. So you also have to just pick your battles. And as you said, we're not perfect. You get another chance tomorrow. So ease up on yourself a little bit.
Great advice.
Yeah, that's my tip. And I think we'll hear more wonderful tips from all types of women. So we want everyone to chime in on that, too. We want to take your questions, and you will answer every question you said, correct?
Absolutely. And as a to remind you, I am a fertility specialist, so I would be very happy if you have any fertility questions. Please email me at mifertility.com, and I will answer every email that comes across. We will highlight a couple of emails that Dana and I feel are very pertinent to the general population, and anonymously we'll share that email. And I very much would love to hear from you, because we're all in this together, and I really, really hope that what Dana and I share with you on this show is going to make your life a little less complicated.
Or you can visit the web at mifertility.com or call 586-576-0431. That's 586-576-0431 to learn more. Tell us a little bit more, since we just have a few minutes left, about Michigan Fertility Center.
Again, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health is in Warren, Michigan, and it was based on a philosophy and a mission that I believe the entire couple and all aspects of the couple need to be paid attention to, not only looking at the data and the basic pieces of the puzzle like we talked about earlier in the show, but also appreciating how this makes them feel, how it affects their life, and essentially treat the whole person and the whole couple, mind, body, and spirit, to enhance their fertility journey and make them as successful as possible.
And you are the only one in Michigan. Why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. I am blessed with a great team in the office, and I think that we all work together and feel the same importance of the combination of both traditional and complementary. And so I hope others will join in the future.
And it's a family when you come to the center.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's not like the typical hospital setting.
The biggest compliment I get is, I don't want to leave your practice, and can you deliver my baby? And I said, you know what? I haven't delivered a baby in 100 years. So there are plenty of great OBGYNs out there that can do that for you. But it is wonderful that we.
So let's talk about our next show, which is going to be in May, and it's going to be all about moms and a tribute to moms, and that's when we also will take those email tips celebrating mothers next month.
Absolutely, and I'm very excited to celebrate next month on May 22nd. It's all about you, all about the mom, the woman who wants to be the mom, the woman who is the mom, the woman who's watching her kids, and they're the next set of mothers. So I'm really excited, Dana, about next show.
Okay, well, I think that's it. Let's wrap up our first show, and we appreciate everyone listening. Once again, mifertility.com or call 586-576-0431, 586-576-0431. Thanks so much for joining us on our first show, Today's Woman, on WJR.
And with that,
you go, girl.
Doesn't care, you makes you strong.